Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. My name is Krista Reyna. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I oversee things like life groups and care ministry, among some other things. So I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. Hello to everybody at the Torrance campus and everybody watching online. I think my mom is watching online from New York, so hello to her. Always fun to say hi to her in that way. We are in the final message in a series that we've been calling Ambassadors, where we are looking at this question here. What does it mean to represent Jesus in the world? And we're looking at stories of the very first Christians and seeing how they responded to the people around them, how they reached out to people with the love of Jesus in very special and unique and meaningful ways. And the way that we're looking at these stories is through this book of the Bible called Acts, or Acts of the Apostles. Today we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 17, and we'll get there in a moment. We're going to be talking about a guy named Paul, who we have been discussing for a few weeks now. And Paul was one of Christianity's very first missionaries. And he was surrounded by people that believed very differently from him. They had a very different worldview than he did. And he handles these situations with such grace and love. And I think we can really learn something from him today. You know, I think we all can relate in some ways. We have those people in our lives that believe differently than we do, think differently than we do. And our job as followers of Jesus, if that's what you call yourself, is to meet those people where they are. Now, I have an example I want to share with you this morning that's in a very different context from what Paul experienced, but this is in the context of my husband, David, and somebody that's really important to our family. It's our relationship with this girl here, is our dog. Oh, she's so cute. Her name is Candy, and we adopted Candy 2 weeks before the world shut down with COVID in 2020. So we know what that was like. It was actually kind of miraculous that we got her, I think. So we adopted Candy, and that first week when we brought her home, she seemed to be really adjusting well to our family. She was hanging out with the kids. But we did notice that as that first week went on, she became more and more suspicious of my husband, David. And that hasn't changed. Like, over the last 5 years that we've had her, her demeanor towards him ranges from being, like, really reluctant to kind of rude sometimes. Yeah, she has a really loud voice. She's a big dog. And so she's kind of rude to him. I mean, he'll come home at the end of the day from work. She'll hear his car drive up. And she is on high alert. And sometimes she barks at him. And I feel bad. I feel bad for him. And he's really tried to communicate with her in a way that reaches her heart. He'll talk to her and say loving things in a high-pitched baby voice. And like, oh, you're so cute. And oh, you're the best dog in the world. And oh, there's no dog as good as you. And I know that she knows he's mocking me. Because I talk to her that way. And so when he talks to her that way, she's like, I'm not having it. Only mom talks to me that way. But recently, I noticed he drove up from work, and she stood up in her chair, and her tail was wagging, and she didn't bark. And I'm like, what is happening? Why is she excited? David's coming home. Well, come to find out, he bought this giant bag of meat sticks from Sam's Club, and he has them outside the back door, and when he would come in, he'd throw the meat sticks at her. And so she's so excited, and I was so proud of them. And I think that this is a really funny story when it's about a dog. And I know that my husband isn't trying to teach Candy the ways of Jesus. Although after I said that in the first service, I was like, maybe she does need to know about Jesus. So she needs Jesus and meat sticks. But we can all relate in our life. We all have somebody in our life that thinks differently than we do. And we all have people in our lives that when we talk to them about something in one way, it doesn't work or it doesn't resonate the way it would with somebody else. And that's kind of the story we're going to learn about today, is how does Paul speak to people that believe very differently, speak to people that might even have anger towards him or frustrated feelings towards him. And our main idea is that we can share the good news of Jesus in a way that makes sense to others. How do we do it? Well, we're going to look at a story, like I said, from this book of the Bible here. It's Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34, if you want to find it on your phone or in your Bible. This story that we're going to look at today gives us some really good ideas. And what happens here is Paul, he's on his second missionary journey. So you can see this is where he started over here in Antioch. And he's just traveled all over by land and by sea, hundreds and hundreds of miles to reach the city of Athens. And Athens, the thing about Athens at this time is it was about 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And even though it had been 20 years, many of the people living in Athens didn't even know who Jesus was. So Paul was going into an area of the world where Jesus was unknown. And it's so amazing to me because news travels really fast nowadays. But imagine back then, 20 years, they still didn't know who Jesus was. And Athens at the time was known for being a city of great culture and deep thinkers and beautiful sculptures and all kinds of things. I think if I were to visit Athens today, I haven't been there yet, I hope to one day arrive in Athens, and I think I'll just be amazed by the architecture and the sculptures and the beautiful scenery of the Mediterranean. But Paul had a really different experience. When he arrived in Athens, it wasn't so great. In fact, here's what it says. Paul was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. So Paul was deeply troubled. In the original language this passage was written in was Greek. And in that language, this means that he was grieved to his core. He was upset. He was probably offended. So he's deeply troubled. But why? Why is he so deeply troubled? Well, Paul, from what we know about him, was a faithful Jewish man. And he would have grown up knowing all the stories of God from the Old Testament. He would have grown up knowing the Ten Commandments by heart, that he could recite them by heart. And one of those Ten Commandments says that you are not to have any idols before God. God spoke those words to the Israelites generations earlier. And God said, have no other God before me. Don't make statues of other gods. Don't worship other gods, because I am the one true God. And when people moved away from worshiping God and began to worship idols, there became a distance between them and God. God was still near, but they had a disconnect with him, and Paul knew that. So he's deeply concerned about what he sees here in Athens. I love Paul's reaction, actually. He doesn't show his frustration or anything. Here's what he says to them. Men of Athens, I notice you're very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars has this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. So Paul's deeply grieved, and he says, I notice that you're very religious in every way. Like, I don't know about you, but like, when something upsets me, or I'm mad at somebody or a situation, like, I tend to go home and isolate and just eat ice cream, like, right out of the tub and watch true crime. Like, we can all relate to that, but not Paul. He handles his emotions so well. And he says, I see that you are religious in every way. When Paul says this to them, he is creating a connection with them, and he's not condemning them. Remember, our main idea for today is we can share the good news of Jesus in ways that make sense to others. This is exactly what Paul was doing. He knew that these people in Athens had a spiritual curiosity and a spiritual longing. We can do that too. We can be curious about the people in our life. And how are we going to do that? It's by understanding the people God loves. Before Paul told them about Jesus, he took time to understand the people that were in front of them, their beliefs, their values, their longings. It's kind of like David did with Candy, right? He realized finally she wasn't a girl who loved affirmations. I'm kind of like that. But Candy was like, nope, I'm just a girl who likes snacks. And that's what worked with her. And so the key to understanding the people that God loves in our lives is listening. It's so simple, listening. But listening can be really challenging for us sometimes, I know. And the way that you will know that you're listening better to the people in your life is that you will talk less. You will ask really good questions. You will begin to feel more love and genuine compassion for the people in your lives because you're listening to them. You're not talking to them. If you take nothing else away from this message today, know that listening is the key in our relationships in this life, and especially having people draw closer to Jesus. There's a term that we have today, it's called felt needs. And I want to point that out today because when you begin to listen to people, you will understand the felt needs that they have in their life. Felt needs can sometimes be things that are painful in our lives. Things like anxiety or grief or frustration at a situation. Felt needs can also be much different than that. Felt needs can be like, I'm out at the ocean. We live here in Southern California, and we know when you look out over the ocean, you feel some presence of God that you can't quite put your finger on, and you have this need that you just know something is greater and bigger out there in the world. When you see like a sunset or just something beautiful in nature. These felt needs, they do emerge often in life-giving moments as well. I was thinking this morning of maybe you've had the situation where you've been healed of a sickness or healed of a disease. You're like, wow, you have just wonder and awe about that. And I think under all of these felt needs, there's a common question that we all share. It's this question here, where's God in all of this? The answer is God is in all of it. God is in our anxieties and our frustrations and our loneliness. God is in the beauty of the sunset. God is in those moments where we are healed and we have miraculous moments in our life. God is in all of it. And that's such good news about God. And that's exactly where Jesus wants to meet people. That's what Paul did in Athens. He understood the needs of the Athenians. He understood that they had this desire to have spiritual lives, and he met them in that need. He didn't go around preaching the Ten Commandments. He didn't let them know how deeply grieved he was. He cared for them, like a genuine love, like the genuine love of Jesus. If you look at the stories of Jesus, Jesus genuinely loved, and he constantly was sharing his love with people in ways that met their needs. And we can do that too. So here's our first action step. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you identify your friend's felt needs. I say here, ask the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the part of God that gives us discernment in situation. The Holy Spirit gives us words to say. The Holy Spirit helps us see what's going on deep beneath the surface of our friends' lives and also our own lives. And when you pray to the Holy Spirit, you might sense a word or a phrase or an image might come to your mind that your friend needs to know about or that reveals to you their felt need. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Such a powerful force in our lives. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal something to you right away, I just want you to know, like, that's okay. Your job is not to turn every interaction that you have with people around you into a spiritual breakthrough. That would be weird, maybe. But just be a good friend. Listen, have fun together, have coffee together. And through that process, be talking to the Holy Spirit, and he's going to speak to you. And he is going to reveal to you a need that your friend has in their life. Keep inviting the Holy Spirit into the process. And as you do invite the Holy Spirit into that process, you're going to notice his voice more even in your own life when it comes to your own situations, when you want to ask for guidance or wisdom for things. Maybe we're talking about something today and you're like, ooh, I have that felt need. Please know that whatever it is you're whatever situation you're in, whatever experience you're having, God is there for you too. God is alive and he is real and he is active and he is here now. God is present. And I think that's what's so beautiful about what Paul is doing with these people in Athens. He's reminding them that God is there with them. There was a time in my life when somebody noticed a felt need that I had. She was a Christian. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about her in a moment because I think it's really important part of this story and my story and all of our stories. But before we get there, let's go back to Paul's story. And he does something really neat when he's speaking with these people, the Athenians. While he's talking to them, in the crowd are a bunch of philosophers. There are these Stoics and there are these Epicureans. And I think every time I hear Epicureans, I'm like, ooh, French bakery. Like, it just sounds so French. But the Epicureans, they actually believe that there were many gods that created the earth and that were kind of controlling things. And then the Stoics believed that there was a God that created the world, but that God kind of stepped back and just kind of everything was happening all willy-nilly, that God didn't have a hand in anything. So this is Paul's audience, and here's how he speaks to them. He says, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. And since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. He's reminding them that God is creator, God is sustainer. And he continues on from the next part. Yeah, from one man, he created all the nations. This one man he's talking about is Adam, of Adam and Eve. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So let's kind of unpack a little bit about what he's saying to them. He's showing them that God didn't just create the world and step back and then ignore us. No, God is in everything that's happening in the world. And I love when Paul says, perhaps feel their way toward him right here. I think this is such a cool example of what the spiritual life can be like for many of us. We have those times either where we are uncertain of what God is doing and we just kind of feel like we're feeling around, like, God, where are you? I don't see you in this. But that's okay. God is near, even in those moments when we feel towards him or we don't necessarily believe in God yet. Or we want to believe and we know something's greater out there, but we just can't quite grasp it. That's what Paul's talking about here. And then he says, he is not far from any one of us. He's saying that God is personally involved in each and every one of our lives. And what's so great about this is that sometimes we come before God and we're like, God, I don't have my stuff together. I'm a mess. This is going on or that is going on. And the most wonderful thing about God is that even in the midst of your mess and all the things you might be experiencing in this life, God is present. He's not far from any one of us. And then Paul does something really thoughtful. At the very end, he says, some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. There was a Stoic poet. His name was Aratus. Here's a picture of him. I love his side profile. Very, very nice. Anyway, so Aratus, he's this poet that the Stoics would have known, and he said that we are God's offspring. See, Aratus believed that humanity was very close to the divine, or that humanity was very close to a higher power. And so what Paul is doing here is he's saying, yeah, what I'm teaching you about God isn't very far from what your own philosophers, your own writers believe. By quoting them, he's saying, I know this sounds new, but it's not entirely foreign to you. Your own thinkers are already saying it. And it's such a powerful connection point. Again, he said to them, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Paul never shied away from the truth. He spoke about Jesus with clarity and with boldness. But here is the thing. He didn't condemn them. He didn't mock. He didn't show that he was offended by them. Pastor Jason shared a quote with me this week by a really famous pastor named Rich Velotis. He pastors a church in Manhattan in New York City. And Rich Velotis explains that the level of our offendability actually represents how mature we are in our faith. That's a pretty serious quote, meaning that if we are so offended by things that we have to let people know how offended we are and that it can draw people away from Jesus, that we need to grow in our spiritual maturity. And I love that Paul, he was offended, but he didn't use that as a way to shame them. He actually took who they were and he showed them that God is real in their lives. He entered into their story. He honored their spiritual curiosity, spoke truths to them. And Paul knew the very essentials of what it means to follow Jesus. Here's our second point for today. I need to read this verse. Let me go back a little bit. I'll get to the second point in a moment, but what Paul was saying is, and since this is true, meaning since Aratus says that we're not very far from God, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. And then he goes on. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed. The man he has appointed, he's talking about Jesus here. The man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising Jesus from the dead. You see, Jesus is the one true way that we get to God. And Paul is pointing that out to them here. And like I said, he's not condemning. He doesn't mock. He doesn't make fun of them. He connects with them. And so here's our second point for today. Know Jesus' essential message. Paul offers them four basic truths. The first one is God created us. He wants these people in Athens to know that God created the world. He's active in this world. He didn't step back and forget about us. No, he's here. And he's telling them that each and every one of you is made with intention of love, that God knew them before the world began. God knows us. He knew us before the world began. He created us. And then he tells them, God isn't far from us. That God created the world in such a way, and God created us in such a way that we can connect with him. We can know God on a personal level. And that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus. God knew that as human beings, we would do things that separate us from him, that we would have sin in our lives. But God sent Jesus so that we could have that connection with God. That's how much Jesus loves us. And then finally, he says, through Jesus, we can have hope, forgiveness, and new life. He's saying here that this is not the end of our existence. Because when we know Jesus, we will have eternal life with him in heaven. We will live with God in glory in heaven, and the way to get there is through Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't over-explain. He simply offers a beautiful glimpse of who God is. And you've already been asking the Holy Spirit about what's your friend's felt needs, asking him, what does my friend need in this life? Well, the next part of that is to talk to the Holy Spirit and ask him to help you discern which basic truth someone needs to hear and then share it. Again, you're connected with the Holy Spirit. Just pray. Holy Spirit, what is the truth that my friend or my loved one or my coworker, whoever it is, what is the truth that they need to know about you? Let's put those four truths back up. You might know somebody that feels like their life doesn't really matter. They don't understand why they're here and they're struggling with their self-worth. You can let them know God created you so beautifully and perfectly. And yeah, life isn't perfect right now, but you were created by God. That's a connection point. And it's so true. They might feel distant from God. They're searching around in their spiritual life and they don't know what to do next. They don't know how to find God. You can even mention something like, I believe God is closer than you know. that he hasn't forgotten you in your situation. He is here. He is with you. He is part of your life. And if you have somebody, maybe they're carrying shame or they feel like they're unloved or unlovable, you can just remind them how much God loves them and that God sent us Jesus in those hopeless feelings that we sometimes have. God gives us new life through Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in these conversations. And remember, it's so important to remember that these four basic truths, these aren't just something that's for somebody else. These are for us. We get to live into them every single day and know that God created us. I just want you guys to know that so much. You are beautifully created by God. He sees you and he knows you. And he wants you to draw closer to him through Jesus. There's one final thing that we hear about Paul's story that I think can be an encouragement for us. Let's look at this last verse. When Paul told them about Jesus, it says, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this, but later. And that ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. So this is encouraging to know because you might have somebody that you'd want to talk to about Jesus and you tell them, oh, God loves you and you're made by God and isn't God great? And they're like, I don't know, I'm not ready to hear that yet. And that's okay. You've done your part. The next part of the process is in God's hands. God is the one who is going to help people make that final decision to follow Jesus. Your job is to be present and kind and a good friend. Even Paul, you know, he didn't get the same responses from everyone. Be consistent in your friendships. Be consistent in showing up for your friend and be consistent in prayer and asking the Holy Spirit for guidance. I'm going to give you a quick recap of what we talked about today, and then I'm going to share a story with you. We can share the good news of Jesus in ways that make sense to others. How? By understanding the people God loves and knowing Jesus' essential message. I mentioned to you a few moments ago that I had somebody that knew my felt needs at one point, and it was about 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, and this woman was my neighbor. Her name was Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was a follower of Jesus, and I didn't really know that when I first met her. I come to find that out later, but when I met Elizabeth, I was in the most challenging season of my life. I was in a very difficult relationship. I was hopeless, and I didn't know where to turn. And because Elizabeth and I were neighbors, our doors were literally right next to each other, I think she heard a lot of the things that were happening in my apartment. And one day, she invited me to go to a Bible study that she was having in her apartment. And so I was like, well, you know, what do I have to lose? So I went to the Bible study. It was so great that she invited me. I didn't go back after that, though. I was like, this is fine. This is good for them. I just had so much going on that I just didn't feel like I had time for it. I didn't feel connected to it. But 3 years after I went to this Bible study in her home, the relationship that I was in, it hit an all-time low. I remember standing in the backyard of my home. We had moved at the time. The backyard of my home, it was dark outside and had been barbecuing. And I looked up at the sky and I saw the stars and I was like, God, like, where are you in all of this? Because I am hurting. I am hopeless. I don't know what to do. And I had this sense come over me that I needed Jesus in a new and fresh way. I had known Jesus my whole life, really. I was raised in a Christian family, but I had fallen away from Jesus, and I was there, and I'm like, oh, I need to go to God. I need to find him. And so that next day, or that weekend, I went to a church. It was the church that Elizabeth had invited me to 3 years earlier. It's a church still there in Redondo Beach. And I sat in the back pews for the first 3 weeks, and I bawled my eyes out every time I was there. I don't remember what the pastor spoke about. I just remember how I felt. I felt like God was finally showing up and giving me that hope that I needed in this such a terrible, difficult situation that I was in. And one Sunday, a lady that was sitting in front of me, probably hearing me cry and sniffle and try to catch my breath when you know you're ugly crying and you do that like can't quite breathe thing. And she turned around and she said, hey, keep coming back. God wants you to be here. And those two women, they changed the trajectory of my life. That is why I feel so strongly about this message, about understanding the people God loves and knowing who God can be to all of us. Because the reality is Jesus gives us hope. And my life didn't turn around that moment that I went to church or that moment that I went to that Bible study. I was in the thick of it for a few more years in this situation, in this relationship. But you know what was different? I had hope. And so if you ever feel like what you want to say to somebody doesn't matter, if you ever feel like, oh, they don't really need to know that God created them. I'm sure they know it already. Or if you ever feel like, oh, I don't need to invite them to church. They'll go. It matters so much. Because God is going to use you in the lives of your friends and the lives of your family members. The news of Jesus is so good. And God wants each and every person in our little circles, in our community, to know who he is. Looking back, I can see that I was just longing for hope. And when we have that felt need, whether it's hope, we need hope, or whatever it is, just know that God can meet us there. We're going to close in a few minutes. We're going to close with a song today. And I love this song. I love that we chose it for today. It's called Same God. And it's a reminder to us that the same God who was with Paul in Athens, the same God that was with the Athenians, and the same God that met Moses on a mountain and gave him the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, that God is with us today. He's here, he's now. That same God that was with me in my story is here with us now. And at the very end of the song, the final lyric is a prayer to the Holy Spirit. So when you get to those words especially, just let that soak into your soul and take that prayer with you as you leave here today. Let's all stand. I'm gonna pray for us and then we'll sing. Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us wisdom and discernment. Thank you that we can come to you when we are unsure of how to talk to another or when we are unsure of what's happening in our lives. Thank you for being such a powerful force in our lives. I pray for everyone here that you would be pouring into each one of our lives in such a way that we feel you. We know you, and we have a desire to let people know who you are, God. Jesus, thank you for our time together. You are amazing. And we pray all these things in